Amen. Join me, if you will, in Matthew 5, 8. Going through the Beatitudes, and they've just been wonderful, and they line up wonderfully with where we are moving through at this Christmas time as we looked at mercy, our hope. Our hope is in His mercy. And today, the joy that we can find at Christmas just comes through purity, and that purity that we can see that is only through Jesus Christ. So far, we've looked at, as we've gone through here, we know the setting is Jesus is sitting on a hillside or on a mount. It's the Sermon on the Mount. It's how it's where it begins. And we know that He sees the people, the large crowds, and He sits down and with His disciples there. I imagine there's others there also. Luke 6 said He fixes His gaze upon the disciples and He begins to teach. And already we see that over the few weeks if we've looked at verse by verse, just these statements are so profound and just wonderful. These teachings that He's saying here. And I can only imagine being there. Just think one day we will be there. And be in His presence, and it'll be wonderful. So far, we've looked at the poor in spirit, and there's a teaching and there's a promise that comes with each one of them. But the poor in spirit, they will receive the kingdom. Those who mourn, they will be comforted. Those who are meek or humble or gentle, they will inherit the earth. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be satisfied. They will be filled, is what the Scripture says. And last week, we looked at the merciful, they will receive mercy. And as we read them, it's easy to look at it from a cultural worldview or a worldview or a secular worldview where they would call Christianity a crutch. And us, well, I guess it is. Praise God, we do need Him. But there is there's not a weakness. It's not because there's no other way. There is a strength that is within us all, but we've come to a place of faith. A place of heart change, a place of focus, not on ourselves, not on the world, but on the Lord. And then He has made us into a new creation, a new way of thinking, a new attitude. And then as we persevere for it, our focus is on eternal life and on obeying Him and on love. It's not that we can't. It's that we've chosen to follow Him rather than to follow our own desires. Just imagine that. As the church today, we are the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. We are Jesus in the world today. We are. He left us. He said, I'm going. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to send you a helper. He tells us that we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then as we go, He is with us. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. And it's when we come to these places of submission to Him and saying, Lord, this is the way the world's doing it. Lord, this is the way I desire to do it. But Lord, this is the way Your word says to do it. There is reward and there is strength in that. Let's read from Matthew 5, 8 after we pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we studied so much the last few weeks. And Lord, as we study today, I pray that You'd open up our hearts and our minds, Lord, to learn, Lord, to worship You, Lord, to obey You, and Lord, to align our lives with You. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 5, 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we hear the pure in heart. Just to define these, what are we talking about, the pure in heart here? The word pure, when you look at the original language and you look at the definition of it, it literally means pure, to be clean, to be guiltless, to be innocent, to be upright. And we know in our sin and what we just read from Isaiah 53, that in our own way, in our own abilities, that is impossible without Jesus Christ coming and bearing our sin. And then heart, the word heart here, you know, the word we get cardio, it's cardia that we find in Scripture. It's over 800 times we find it in Scripture, and it doesn't refer to the actual organ that is pumping blood through our body. So the word heart, the pure in heart, the guiltless in heart, it is essentially the effective center of our being. It is our character. It's our inner self. It's our will. It's our intention. It is. I read it this week. It's our moral preference capacity, if that makes sense. And it's kind of, I guess, to put that in a different way, it helps us with our desire decisions. We've had those desires before. I desire this. Do I do it or do I not? And those who have pure in heart, those who have come to Christ, it is through him, the pure in heart, that he can guide us in those decisions. Again, it's character. Character is how we are, how we act when there's nobody looking. And again, this purity, it is unmixed, it is unpolluted, it is cleansed, it is purged of sin because we have been forgiven by what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. The pure in heart is what we're talking about today. So first, the pure in heart, they live faithfully. Begins again, purity. There is no purity outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. And like most of my sermons, this one it is focused on the church. It is focused on believers, people of faith, and that's what it's been prepared for today. But somebody who is pure in heart, trusting that most of us in here have come to a place where we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, you could say you are pure in heart, that you are possibly pure in heart there. But it lives a life of faith. Again, this person lives a clean life. Let's look at James 1:27. It'll be on the board if you don't want to turn there. But James 1:27, always write it down, always check it out. But James 1:27 talks about pure and undefiled religion. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this. Boom. To visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. To keep oneself unstained. That's being unpolluted, unaffected, to be away from sin. And again, it's a battle. It's a battle to not be polluted. It is through the purity of Christ remaining unstained is that of washing our heart and protecting our heart from evil and washing our heart from sin. It's one that requires obedience. We won't turn there, but 1 Peter 1:22, it talks about that obedience. It purifies the soul. And so when we come to that place of purity, that place of forgiveness, that place of faith, is that we live in such a way to where we alter our desires, or that we say no to desires, we say no to temptation, we say no to these things, to follow the Lord our God. And that also leads us to a place of obedience through the Holy Spirit. And then again, to keep ourselves keep it unstained, as we just read here, is to keep our hands clean, to be spotless and to be blameless. And looking at 2 Peter, which is just around the corner here, but in 2 Peter 3:14, I got some other scriptures, Jesse. We're just going to do 3:14, but here it says, "Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things." And what is he talking about, look for these things? If the context here is written in the context, hey, you're expecting heaven. You're expecting eternal life. And he says, "Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, the things of faith, to be diligent, to be found by him in peace." And then it tells us right here, spotless and blameless. Spotless and blameless. That is to be pure before him. And again, this pure in heart, again, it's an act of grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But it leads us to our next point, is the pure in heart, they persevere. They persevere, this diligence that we talk about here. It's talking about a journey. We come faithfully through salvation. We come to a place in Jesus Christ where we say yes, that he breaks into our existence. He sets us free. He forgives us of our sins, and now we are pure in heart. But it begins a journey of staying that way, of perseverance, and just what we read there, to be diligent. To be diligent, to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. And this word diligent, I just want to hammer it. We talk about losing our salvation and things like that. We can't lose our salvation as just one day it's gone. But we do read in Scripture over and over and over again how we can fade away, how we can be led away. If read 1 Timothy, it says it 6 times. Read the book of Hebrews. Read Hebrews 10. It'll really scare you and shake your theology when you look at the reality of that. Oh, we serve a God who has high expectations. We can't do it in our own strength. We do it through that of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ and through his grace. But there is a diligence. There's an expectation. There's a perseverance. There's a strength where we see the world and we have the enemy and it's coming against us. And we say no. And we come to a place, and we read this in James as well. We won't go there right now, where we come to a place of submission before God, a place of resisting the devil, a place of fleeing immorality and idolatry. I brought some 1 Corinthians in there too. But there's a place of diligence, this purity that God gives us. It's not boom, we're done, go live how we want to live. There is an expectation of perseverance, an expectation of diligence to keep to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless is what it says here. Diligent. That's hard work. That's intentional. That's pressing on. That's going through tough times, through temptations, to be found by him in spotless, in peace, which would be spotless and blameless. Why would Peter write that to the church if it wasn't possible for us to do that? Well, we know it's possible. If you're human and you're sucking in air today, and your heart is pumping blood through your body, then you know that the reality of living a sinless life is impossible. And we need Jesus Christ to wash us clean, and we all struggle each and every day. And this perseverance, it's required, because even in ourself, we can talk about the world, we can talk about TV, we can talk about culture, we can talk about temptation, we can talk about this and that, but what about just ourself? I mean, just to think about yourself. Even ourself can be deceptive. Just little by little, just little thoughts that sneak in there about what we want, and not meaning to. But we got to be on guard against ourself, the mixture of ourself into these things, because ourself, it enters quietly when we add our own little twist to things. And then, here's some thoughts, some questions here. When it comes to worship, when it comes to your gathering today, let's put it like that, are you here to honor God? Or are you here to satisfy a feeling of obligation? One, there's purity. One, there may not be. When we come to a daily place of worship, to a daily place of prayer, is it to fellowship with God, or is it to gain a comfortable feeling? Do you even have that daily worship with God? I don't know about you, but I need that time of confession. Oh, God, this is what I'm struggling with. Oh, God, this is my temptations. God, this is where I failed. God, Lord, this is what I'm anxious about. Pastor, you just said all those things that we're not supposed to do. Oh, don't we need him each and every day? It's a perseverance. It's a pressing on. Or when it comes to our things of faith, do we just check the box, or are we really, really, really living a life that is pure in heart? It's hard. It's difficult. It requires diligence, as we just read in 2 Peter. And then I want to read from Psalms 51. Psalms 51, the reality is persevering through it. We got to fight. We got to struggle when it comes to a pure in heart. Yes, he washes us clean, but the battle doesn't end there. Again, it's the journey of pressing on, of pressing on, of pressing on. And here in Psalms 51:10 is a beautiful prayer. It's a beautiful prayer that I have to pray often. Believe it or not. Stephanie, believe it or not. Stephanie knows. She's got a list, I'm sure. Psalm 51. This is a Psalm of David. David, the greatest man, greatest king, a man after God's own heart. Boy, he messed up, didn't he? Listen to this prayer of his. Oh, create in me a clean heart, O God. Let's just stop there just a minute. Not that I'm planning to do that, but maybe we've come to a place where we've persevered, or maybe self has snuck in, maybe the world has snuck in, maybe temptation has snuck in, maybe the enemy has snuck in, and we've come to a place of failure. We find David, a man after his own heart, he was in a place of failure. Listen to what he prayed. This is why he was a man after God's own heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. I imagine as I read this, I am not capturing the emotion and the love and that David was praying here. I just imagine he was pouring out his heart and just broken over his sin as he persevered. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Oh, Lord, what a prayer. What an example that we have. This is where we persevere, because when we stumble, because we will stumble, we come and we repent. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Don't cast me away. Lord, fill me, restore me back to the joy of your salvation. There is joy in his salvation. There is joy. Amen? There is joy in his salvation. Listen to this. And so this perseverance, this pure in heart that we come from living faithfully, purity in heart that we get from being diligent and persevering and coming to this place of confession that we see here. Listen to this. Then I will teach your transgressors your ways, and the sinners will be converted to you. Remember what I said at the beginning? We are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We are Jesus on the earth today, and we should be doing the things of Jesus Christ. And it comes from this pure in heart that starts with faith, that starts in a life of perseverance, of seeking him to be pure in heart, because that isn't a one-time event. It's an everyday, sometimes moment-by-moment event, especially if you're in time of just overwhelming temptation. And you come to this place of restoration. He's a God who still restores. And then he says, and then I will teach your transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Boy, there's centuries before the new covenant came, before the Great Commission, and sinners will be converted to you. Oh, Lord, may it be true of us. Deliver me from my blood guiltness, O God, the God of my salvation. Listen to this, and I went beyond. I know I told him I was going to stop at 13, but it's just too good to stop here. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. Oh, the pure of heart, there we see that there is an action as we persevere, as we go through these things, that we get to a place that we can praise him, that we can glorify him, that we can love others, and that we can pass on the things of God through us. Oh, we see, the church is on my mind a lot. I bet you can imagine why. And we come through here, we read through things. I'm in the culture. I read about how to make your church grow. And I mean, I tell you, I want to put lights up there and get Josh an electric guitarist and all these type of things. And boy, we could do all those things. Maybe one day we will do those things, but for the right reasons. And you want the church to grow. You want things that that's where. But I'm chasing something here, and I'm sorry. But the pure in heart. Imagine a church that was pure in heart. Imagine a church that is pure in heart, that is, yes, it's a church that is faithful, a place that can say, hey, there's a time in my life, I may not know the date, I may not know the place, but I know there's a place in my life where I said yes to Jesus Christ, and I have been changed, and I am a new creation, and I am a person of faith, but then But then a church that also persevered through the challenges of this life, through the temptations that come in this life, and we persevered, and we were like David, we got on our face, and we repented, and we confessed, because if you say you have no sin, 1 John says, then you are a liar, and he says that we have fellowship with God when there is confession, and we come to that place of pouring our hearts out before God, sharing our sins, sharing our temptations, sharing what we're anxious about, sharing what we're troubled about, sharing what we feel weak in, sharing what we feel too strong in, sharing these things, and we come to a place of restoration, and we experience this joy of our salvation, not just simply a joy of Christmas, but a joy of our salvation, and then we are sustained by the Holy Spirit, and we have a willing spirit. Then, I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will be converted to you. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. Imagine a church in the United States today. Imagine a church in Perdido today that we have come to a place of faith, but we're living in such a way that we're persevering through all the garbage that's in our own mind, in our own heart, in our own world, and we're persevering in such a way that the Holy Spirit fills us with such a joy that changes the world. That changes the world. Oh, the mission of Jesus Christ, the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ starts in your house, in your bedroom, in your quiet place every single day. Oh, Pastor, what if we did this event or did that event or we did this or we added this light or we made it pretty or you wore a tie or this or that or whatever? No. What if we got on our face? What if we persevered each and every day? And we just had the joy of the Lord just flowing out of us in a charismatic way. Where somebody says, tell me about what you got. Is it Christmas time you're joyful about? Let me tell you what I'm joyful about. Oh. We'll change the world. Imagine that. That sounded rude. I didn't mean that to be rude. Please forgive me. I didn't mean that to be rude. I didn't. Perseverance. Let's read Hebrews 11:27. We're kind of camping out of all of this. I love the Word of God. He gives us an example. We're in Hebrews 11. It's a hall of faith. It's going to be on the board, I think. And did I give you that one, Jesse? Hebrews 11. And we're reading about Moses. We got so many good things about Noah, about Abraham, about Abel. We got so many. Enoch, and I encourage you to read it. And if you haven't read it, if you haven't read Hebrews, you want to read Hebrews. But then we get to place of 27. They're talking about Moses. And then it says, by faith, he left Joseph. He left Joseph. I don't know where I got that from. By faith, he left Egypt. We're in verse 27. Not by fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. He endured, talking about seeing God here. He endured, it says here, as seeing him who is unseen. What does it say? He went through a tough time. He persevered by seeing him who is unseen. What are we talking about? Jesus has given us a beatitude here. The pure in heart will see God. There is a perseverance, and that we come to a place of faith, and that we can persevere, that we may not have seen God, but friend, we know that we know that we know. Friend, raise your hand if you know that you know that you know. Maybe you've never seen him. Maybe you've never seen this or that, but you know, and you know it here because you know when you're on your face, you know the feeling. You've felt him. You've even heard him. You've experienced him through his word. We know that we know that we know. It is through his existence, through his faithfulness, through his presence, through the fact that we can see him, maybe not with these eyes here, but the heart that we're talking about, we've seen him with that, we know him through that. It causes us to persevere. Oh, Moses persevered. What is this persevere? It's discipline. Oh, we got to be disciplined. If we're not a disciplined church, if we're not followers of Christ, if we're not followers of Christ who are not disciplined, but friend, then we're not following Christ. It's that simple. But discipline is the right motives. Why are we doing things? Lord, I'm doing it for you. Or it comes to a place of confession. prayer each and every day. Having a moment, just like I'm talking to you now, or even more intimately. Oh, God, this is what I'm thinking about. Lord, I thank you for this. Lord, that's amazing. Lord, you're awesome. Lord, help me here. Lord, I'm afraid. Lord, I'm angry. Talk to him about everything. An avoidance of sin. Man, the opportunity of sin is everywhere. It's everywhere in every moment, all the time. And what we find in Scripture is what I've already said, is to submit to God first. Have you submitted to God daily? Well, I've submitted my life to Christ. Well, have you really? I mean, really? Think about it. Again, I didn't mean that to sound that rude. But to be the pure in heart is a place of submission in everything, every aspect of our life. And through that submission, then we can get to a place where we resist the devil. Oh, because the devil's good. The devil is good at coming to us and knowing you, knowing your weaknesses, knowing where you got those little temptations, knowing what will bait you, and little by little draw you in. Oh, can you resist him? And then it tells us to flee. We say flee temptation. I don't find that directly in Scripture, but I do find flee immorality, flee idolatry. We have some other scriptures that we can say flee temptation, but flee, run away from it. Run away from it. Flee those things. Again, persevering is a life of discipline, a life that is focused on Christ, a life that does focus on faith. And then thirdly, we see the pure in heart will live. The pure in heart live generously. Now, where did I get that from? I want to go back to James. James 1:27. We just read that. James 1:27, we read just a few moments ago, where it says, we focus on, it says, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this. I read it kind of quickly, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. We focus on the unstained, keeping ourselves persevering through this, keeping ourselves unstained. But we can't skip that part. I think we do skip that part often in scriptures like it. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress. When you study that section, when you look at that, it is about orphans and widows. And in our country, in our culture, orphans and widows do have it a little bit better than they had it then. The orphans and widows, when you study that, it's talking about the powerless. But those who are destitute, those who have come to a place where they have to beg, they have to sell themselves into slavery, or they die. I mean, that was the reality of the culture here, that these people, these were the powerless people. They were life was so hard on these people, and they had been abused. They were going to a place that they had physical needs that needed to be met. And it says here, so anyone who thinks of himself religious, oh no, I went to the wrong, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, to help, to be generous to those who are powerless in this world. You know, we can, you know, again, I just love discovering things in Scripture. And we talk about, in like Acts 2, we like to go to Acts 2 to find out who we are as a church, to find out who we are to be the body of Christ and be the hands and feet of Christ. And we know when we read Acts 42 through 47, we find that we need to be studying the Bible. We need to there needs to be discipleship. There needs to be fellowship. There needs to be taking the Lord's Supper. There needs to be worship. We find those things, and we skip over a third of it, where 44, what I just read about generosity, and then we read it here about generosity, and then so we have all those things, but we will never be the church that God wants us to be if we do not become a generous person, considering those who are in need in our life. Now, a generous person, am I talking about offering? Absolutely. I'm not there. This is beyond the offering. Friend, if you are a partaker of anything that goes on in this place, then you should be supporting in some way. It's a family and friend supported existence. That's who we are. So that's what I'm talking about. You should already be helping. If you like the air conditioner or the heat, or even if you don't, if you like this roof that's over your head, if you like all the things that you receive here, you should be supporting it. That's just basic. We shouldn't have to preach that. But what we're preaching here is going beyond that, that there are people in your families. Families first. The scripture says if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an unbeliever. Boy, that hurts. And then what we find here is that there are powerless people in our culture, even today in 32506 and 32507, those are the zip codes is what I'm talking about. There are people in our life that we may come across that have needs that are powerless and that we're called to be a generous people and to meet their needs. Again, I do not think that we can ever be the church in the fullness of God's plan without this type of generosity. That we come first to a place of faith, of new life, of new creation. We persevere through it. And then the truth that we find in Scripture when it comes to the pure in heart, they are like Christ. And so through like Christ, we are giving of ourselves in some way. We're given, so whether it be our time, whether it be resources, be it food, maybe get somebody on their feet or helping somebody through a moment or whatever that may look like, where we're giving ourselves up. Again, going back to Acts 2, 42 and 47, there's a lot of theology there, and a lot of theologians put the direction of the church in that, and I've yet to come across something that brings in 44 and 45. So you think about, we got six verses that really sets the church on its course, and we cut out one third of that passage where the people were selling things. They had everything in common. They were helping each other out. And again, we want to get to a place where we change the world and be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. We get to a place first of faithful purity, persevering in that purity, and then going beyond ourselves and being a conduit of God's grace as we're generous in a way that doesn't make sense in our own lives and in our culture. I don't think we can ignore that truth much longer. The big idea of bringing it to us. Faith, perseverance, generosity. We can't have the purity of Christ without the actions of Christ. And I thought about the theology of that statement. There's better words that I could use, the life of Christ, this and that. Yeah, we can add that. Boy, we can make that a five-page essay real quick. But for the big idea, you know what I'm talking about. I hope you do. Faith, perseverance, and generosity. We can't have the purity of Christ without the life and the actions of Christ. Again, that faith, believing that he is and all that he is and being in his word and believing that is true. Perseverance, pressing on in a tough, tough world where there's an enemy who has you in his sights, wanting to bring you down and bring down the church. And then that generosity, that's what Christmas is about. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. In a place when he could have crushed and burned us all, he said, no, let's give him one more chance. Let's send a new covenant. I'm going to send my son, and I'm going to give, and through him we have received. And now that we are living the life of Christ, that Christ is in us, Christ is working in this world through his church, that we continue to give, whatever that looks like. Time, prayer, love, physical needs, whatever that looks like. And then we see the promise here. Again, we can't have the purity of Christ without the life of and actions of Christ. And listen to the promise as we just read back in Matthew 5:8. I'm going to read that again. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. For they shall see God. That's the promise. They shall see God. And now we see him now through our faith. We just talked about that. And we see him through our perseverance, but we see him eternally. There will be a day that we do see him. You know, I'm stumbling around in my mind because there's a verse that's coming. And I think it's 1 John 4. If it's not 1 John 4, it's 1 John 5. We're not going to turn there. And I feel bad for even putting it. It's out there, and I don't give you a reference for it. But again, it's just prompted in my heart that people won't see God. They can't see God, but they do see his love through us. We do, and I wish I had that prepared for you. I'm gonna turn there, if you don't mind me just exploring. We're family here. If you came for a show, you came to the wrong place. I'll give you some references of a place that does some great shows. And I'm not talking bad about them. I'm just saying I'm not there yet. I don't know if I want to be. Oh, here it is, 4:12, 1 John 4:12. It's not going to be on the board because this is what was put on my heart as I was just talking to you. We find in verse 8 where it says, God is love, that gives us the whole theme of this. Verse 11, I'm going to start there. Now I'm going to back up because this is just good. Let's start in verse 8. For the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That means he took our place. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Listen to this. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. So the logic in that, if God is love and he abides in us and people see his love and they experience his love and his love abides in us, when we go and we are generous, when we live in that such a way where we love one another, then that is as close as people are going to see God on this side of heaven. That's exciting. That's exciting. The pure in heart, they will see God. Now, through our love, through his presence, through the Holy Spirit, but also we will see him in heaven. And we're going to end, as Josh is coming, I want to end in 1 John 3:2. Wow, that was kind of worked out kind of nice. It says, beloved, now we are children of God, And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. So friend, are you a child of God? Friend, when we know that he will appear, are you ready? And friend, do you have your hope fixed on him? And does that fixation on Christ, is it keeping you pure day by day, moment by moment, as we persevere in faith? If you'd like to talk, I'm going to be right over here. If not, go out praising him, worship him, confess to him if you need to. Spend some time with a God who loves us and gave his Son to die for us. Father in heaven, we love you, we praise you, we glorify you, we thank you for purity, Lord. It should give us joy that we can experience such purity. But Lord, while we have that joy, Lord, we know that life and confession, or not, forgive me, for life and temptation and challenges in this world can just lead us astray. Father, I pray that you draw us back home. Lord, help us persevere through the challenges and through the spiritual battles that we face. And we pray, Lord, that you would constantly, Lord, as we fix our eyes on you, fix our hope, fix our hearts on you, that you would keep us pure. Lord, that you would not only fill us, but you would overflow us with your Holy Spirit and with your joy and with your love, and that we would be conduits for you, just giving, 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 whatever that looks like, in the moment, according to your calling. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.